Our next guest is a favorite to the audience and really a favorite of mine personally. I've gotten to know her a little bit on air, off air. Just so delightful. What she's doing is extremely important. Her websites, yes, I'll give all three of them. Vaxxter.com, VaccineU.com, and CoursesForMastery.com. And the four is the number four. CoursesForMastery.com. Vaxxter.com, two X's, V-A-X-X-T-E-R, CoursesForMastery.com, and VaccineU.com. She's, of course, the incomparable Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Welcome back to the Power Hour.
Thank you so much, and it's always so much fun being with you, Daniel. It's just great.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. It's a very mutual.
Yeah, I do.
I want to start off with an article that we covered in the news a couple days ago. I should have saved it for today because you're coming on, but we'll talk about it. It was a study where people were looking at CDC information, CDC statistics. This is their statistics. Over a 12-year span, that 220 people had died of pertussis. The vast majority of them were infants. Vast majority, like 95% of them. In a similar 12-year span, using again CDC results that were reported to the Vaccine Damage Society or whatever that is, the registry, 360 people had died of the pertussis vaccine. What's wrong with this picture, Dr. Tenpenny?
Well, for heaven's sakes, say those numbers again. 360 died of the vaccine and 200 and some died of pertussis?
Bingo. There you go.
Well, I think that should just say it all, shouldn't it? And then, of course, that's only the ones that they know about, the only ones that were actually reported. And how many more might there be? That should just speak volumes to your listeners that the vaccine was more deadly than actually having pertussis.
That's CDC statistics. That's not like Dr. Sherry Tenpenny saying this. This is the CDC statistics. And then the infants that did die, who were the vast majority of them, how many of those got pertussis from being shed upon by their relatives that had gotten the pertussis vaccine? I mean, that the article raises that question. Shedding is a real thing. Maybe address that.
Well, shedding for sure of the viral vaccines is really a real thing. But there was a study that came out, I believe, 2012, sticks out in my mind, that we referred to it as the baboon study. And it was about looking at the pertussis vaccine. And so the bottom line of the study is that they took three populations of unvaccinated, vaccinated with the whole cell pertussis vaccine, and vaccinated with the acellular pertussis vaccine, which is the one that we use exclusively here in the U.S., the acellular pertussis vaccine. And after if the subset of baboons that were not vaccinated at all, they contracted pertussis and recovered. And then you had the whole cell pertussis vaccine and an acellular. And then I don't remember what the time frame was. I'm going to say it was several months later. They re-exposed all three sets of those baboons to pertussis bacteria. The ones that had recovered, the baboons that had actually had the infection and recovered, they colonized in their throat with the pertussis bacteria, but because they had their own intrinsic antibodies and they had long-term immunity, they just cleared it all out. So all that stuff just went away, and they did not become ill again a second time because they'd already recovered. The ones that had the whole cell pertussis vaccine, their trachea colonized with the bacteria, but they cleared it out too. It seemed like the whole cell pertussis vaccine attacked the bacteria in the trachea, and they cleared it out. But those that got the acellular pertussis vaccine, and remember, that's the one we use with infants, adolescents, adults, you know, the big bad wolf television commercials that grandma has to get her DTaP vaccine. Those monkeys that got exposed to the pertussis bacteria, that colonized their trachea and it stayed there. It didn't go away. And it was actually able to be shed to other people around them, and in the process of shedding, made the other monkeys sick who had neither had a vaccine nor had previously had the infection. So the moral of that story, the bottom line of that study, it's a very important study, is that all of these things that were given these kids, the acellular pertussis vaccine that they get at 2, 4, 6 months, 1 year, 5 years of age, and then we give boosters to adolescents. We're now giving that same vaccine to pregnant women. We're giving the same vaccine to grandparents. And how many stories have we heard, Daniel, of we have a new grandbaby in the house and they're like, oh, grandma, you can't come and see the baby unless you get a pertussis vaccine?
Mm.
Well, the fact of the matter is if they get that vaccine, they can be colonized by the pertussis bacteria. And as they're picking up their new grandbaby little infants, they are unknowingly spewing bacteria, pertussis bacteria, all down on the face of their newborn baby, which is the whole reason that we're wanting grandparents to get vaccinated at all. And the most vulnerable period of time, the highest risk period of time for children to contract pertussis and experience that infection is when they're less than 3 months of age. So in your study that you were talking about, it's interesting of how many of them were under 3 months of age that contracted pertussis and possibly died because grandma or grandpa just recently got a pertussis vaccine.
This whole thing, obviously, vaccine, it's, you know, we're proving our its significance to the Power Hour. We have you on every month. We have other people, Dr. Tom Cowan on. I mean, other people, we talk about this. This is such an important subject. You just talked about the heart of one of the issues I have. If I could list them, I don't know what number this would be, but right at the top. The vaccine research, whatever you call that, and the factual information about that research is so lacking in our public, it is almost mind-blowing to me. Please comment on that.
Well, we have been accumulating articles. I've gotten accused a couple of times of cherry-picking the articles. Well, actually, yes, we are. We go through the medical literature.
Yeah,
and
why wouldn't you?
And we pull out all of the articles, which are not easy to find, by the way. It's not like you can just go to PubMed and put in anti-vaccine articles or put in problems associated with vaccines and come up with articles. I pay a researcher that I've been paying her for 8 years that every week she goes through all the medical literature that has been published that week and coming out into the general population and pulls out articles showing problems associated with vaccination. So we have been building this library, which is called TenPennyResearchLibrary.com. Tenpenny, my last name, TenPenny. Dan, you'd be amazed how many people can't spell my name correctly. But TenPennyResearchLibrary.com. You can go there, register for free. You have to register, but it's free. You will get a confirmation email that you must click on the link, and then you can go in and look around. And what you will find when you go in there is that we have more than 10,000 articles, and it grows by 15 to 20 articles every single week showing problems associated with vaccination. So you can search. You can go in and search by vaccine, by health condition, by adjuvant. You can search like mercury or aluminum or formaldehyde, and it will take you to pages that have that word on it. When you click on that page at the top, and all these instructions are written right at the top of when you register to log in, then you hit Control F, which is like Control Find, put the word in it that you want, and it'll highlight all the words in every single article all the way down the page. So just in the less than a month that we have had this open now, we've had over 2,000 people register already, and people that have the emails and text messages that we've been getting back or messages through Facebook have just been like OMG, can you believe that all this stuff is here? And it's only from peer-reviewed mainstream medical journals. It's not from sensational places like Mercola or Natural News. It's not from blogs. It's only being pulled from mainstream peer-reviewed medical literatures. And that's why I say, Daniel, that Doctors are illiterate, and the ones that are saying, no, vaccines are safe, effective, we know it, they don't cause autism, we know that, like, you know, pontificating on things that they have no idea about, and that they just are illiterate. I mean, they refuse to look at this information. So one of the things that I've got my researcher working on right now, we're working on some information, some informational handouts for parents, that it will be like, it'll say like the name of the vaccine at the top, like DPT, MMR, hepatitis A, chicken pox, and then we're going to pull out the 3 to 5 most obvious, most egregious article, mainstream medical articles out of the research library and put them into a little booklet that they can take into their doctor and hand to them and say, here's the articles. This is why I'm choosing to not vaccinate. Neil Miller has a book similar to that. Neil Miller has a book. It's called The 400 Studies, but it's thick and it's big and people get overwhelmed. We want just a little booklet that they can start plopping on the desks of their doctors.
I would love to get involved with that somehow. You know, we have one sheets that we, but I think some little thin booklet, I don't know how we can either copy that or maybe give a smaller version or something. I'm always looking for tools to put in people's hand to hand. There's something so powerful about handing a physical object in people's hand like that. I think it's immensely powerful.
It really is because, you know, we've gotten so, I don't know what's the right
digital
word.
Digital.
Non-human.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
That, you know, that we can't pick up the phone and call and talk to someone. We have to text them or email them. We have to email them a PDF file, you know, or we do something. We download an audio book or we download, you know, a book on your Kindle instead of something that you hold in your hand. And so it's almost like a jolt to your brain when someone calls you on the phone or when somebody hands you something. Thing, and you can look them in the eye and say, here, I'm serious. Please take a look at this.
Let me ask you about refusal. You said that doctors have been very adamant about refusing, generally speaking, of course, you're a doctor, but generally speaking, doctors have been very hands-off, distance myself, like you have a play, get away from me with your facts and figures. I don't want to hear any of it. Why is that?
Because it creates such cognitive dissonance in their brain that they can't deal with it. I mean, they have bought the Kool-Aid lock, stock, and barrel, and they have bought in, and they really believe that vaccines are safe and they are necessary and that they do not cause harm. And there was a study that came out in pediatrics, this was several years ago now, I mean, it may have been 8 or 9 years ago, where they did a survey of physicians and asked them if they recognized if they could recognize a vaccine injury, and I think less than 27% said yes. So they're not even looking for it, and if the vaccine injury walked up and introduced themselves to the doctor would not believe it had been caused by the vaccine, and they would put that patient or that baby through tens of thousands of dollars of medical tests to prove it was something else other than the vaccine.
You mentioned cognitive dissonance. That's a word or a technique just straight out of George Orwell, 1984. Also doublespeak, getting back to the research and why people have such a problem. I'm trying to figure this out, or I'm always trying to get through to people. There has been such a doublespeak by the medical community. You're a doctor. You're sitting here warning us adamantly, standing on the soapbox, so to speak, up on the desk. Hey, please look at me. And then you have other doctors that are just as adamant the other way. There becomes a doublespeak in people's minds, and they just, at some point, they don't trust any of it, and they just kind of go with the flow. Would you comment on that?
I think that that's accurate. I think that, and actually I have written several articles about that over the years. It's like, me with my studies, you with your studies, and, you know, who's going to pick up the bigger hammer to beat the other person over the head? So it doesn't come down to the science anymore, because quite frankly, the people that say vaccines cause a problem have won the science hand down. And even though it may be a smaller body of science as opposed to the tens of thousands of others, mainstream propaganda research studies, that when you look at the conflicts of interest that they have had in terms of like bringing that study to trial, you'd know that it can't be accurate information. In fact, inside the Tenpenny Research Library, we have an entire page on conflicts of interest that goes, it's probably the largest page in the entire research library, that goes on and on and on and on for each one of the vaccines. And when you read, like down in the bottom, it says, you know, potential conflicts of interest, and it'll say, you know, Dr. Jones has got compensation in so many shares of stock from Merck for this study, or that they are a consultation for this many pharmaceutical companies, which you know they get paid for. And the list is endless. And there might be like 8 or 10 doctors that performed that research study that are all getting compensated by the drug companies in order to perform it. So do you think for 1 minute they're going to bite the hands that feed them? Not at all. And so that conflict of interest is huge. It's huge. It's huge.
Please say the website again, your research website.
TenpennyResearchLibrary.com.
TenpennyResearchLibrary.com. I think that's... I have not looked at that, but I am going to, certainly. TenpennyResearchLibrary.com, TenPenny is Tenpenny.
Yes, you would be just shocked. I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody misspelled my last name, which is like the easiest last name in the world.
Well, when I hear Tenpenny, I think of Money Penny from James Bond.
Like, well, if your name was Money Penny. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said that, Daniel, I could retire.
You can't retire, Dr. Tenpenny. We need you on that wall. What are you talking about? You can't retire. Couple questions about, this research is such a bugaboo. And I'll tell you why. On the other side of the break, I'm going to tell you about a conversation I had with more of my relatives. This is kind of an ongoing, thing on the show, but you'll see why. One of this research, like you said, back and forth. Here's my research. Here's your research. Blah, 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 blah. And people, what I see is they end up, well, I'm just going to go with the flow. This is what my doctor, this is what everybody, the majority of people are telling me. This is what my parents have done. This is what my neighbors do. I'm just going to go with it. The thing that throws it over, in my mind, and this is why that movie Vaxxed is so important, and Vaxxed 2 is going to be even more important because it focuses almost entirely on this. The thing that throws this over to where, hey, you know, you got to be some kind of retarded not to look at this and honestly be able to step back for a second, is all the hundreds of thousands of parents who are telling the same story about these vaccines. They're telling about what they went in with a perfectly well child, and then the next day, later that night, a week later, they've lost their child. I mean, it's heart-wrenching. And to ignore this and to see this and to ignore it, something's got to be wrong with you.
Totally. I mean, if somebody wants to look someone in the eye, if one of these ivory tower white-coated people who they hide behind their white coats and their credentials can look those people in the eye and call them a liar when they live with that child 24/7, are responsible for that child 24/7, have sometimes even before and after photos or before and after videos, and that ivory tower person can be so hard-hearted as to just say, nope, wasn't the vaccine, you're lying. I just think that there's something wrong with those people. I mean, I watched some of those videos of parents who showed up at the ACIP meetings, the Advisory Committee of Immunization Practice meetings. They're held 3 times a year at the CDC in Atlanta, and went up to the microphone and told their stories of why these particular vaccines should not be passed, why this should not be a one-size-fits-all vaccination policy, and they were heart-wrenching. And then there was a part of the video was showing the people on the ACIP committee sitting up there fiddling with their phones, not paying a bit of attention, and they voted to pass it like 12-0. They didn't listen to anybody, not one single study. You think about all the people that went to Sacramento to testify against SB 277 and SB 276. The last time that they had those testimonies They gave adequate time for every single person to give their testimony. And for the pro people that were in favor of the SB 276 bill, which will remove a parent's remove exemption rights and put it solely in the hands of the government. So now the government is practicing medicine without a license through their lackeys who decide to work for them. The people who walked up to the microphone and said, yes, I'm in favor of this bill, it was like 20 minutes. And for those who walked up and said, I'm opposed to this bill, it was over 3 hours. And they didn't allow people to elaborate. You just walked up to the microphone and said, hi, my name is Sherry Tenpenny. I'm from Encinitas, California. I oppose this bill. And that was 3 hours of that, and they didn't care.
Wow.
They voted anyways. They didn't care. Nothing moves them in terms of the vaccine-injured kids. When people go in with pictures and cards and tell their stories, they don't care.
Well, I'm generally a logical person until I feel, you know, something's going on or people are getting hurt. Then I get real emotional. So that vaccine, it's like, it triggers both things in me. So I'm like totally triggered about this. You going back just a little bit, we will talk about California on the other side, but going back, okay, if the doctor said to me, or if the medical community said to me, yes, maybe some children are getting hurt. They tried to diminish the numbers, or maybe if they said, yes, some people are getting hurt, but this is for the greater good. This is kind of the cost of what we're doing to protect the whole. If they said that, that would make way more sense than say, no, you're not hurt. No, nobody's hurt. Kids aren't hurt. What are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Exactly. You know, exactly. It would, you know, I said years ago that it, two things. One is if they would have just gone along and said, okay, you're right. Some kids get hurt. Some people should refuse. Some people get hurt. And if you get hurt, you should go through the injury compensation program and be compensated for it. They would still maintain probably their 95% vaccination rate.
No question. It's their own tyranny on this issue that is just accelerating the push. It's like, I'm not saying no anymore. I'm saying hell no. No, I'm saying hell no now. Before I just say no.
Right. And so if they would have just gone along to get along, they would have, the parents would have been, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to your child. Yes, I got really lucky. My kids got vaccinated and they didn't have any injury. But instead, they've created this polarization and this heavy-handed, tyrannical approach to you will vaccinate. And we will vaccinate every single person in the world. And so they've made this so heavy-handed and completely deny what your eyes have seen. I've also said that if I was head of the pharmaceutical industry's marketing arm, which is pharma, they pay all of the manufacturers pay dues to an organization called Pharma, PHARMA, which is their lobbying marketing arm. And I would have said to them, leave the anti-vaxxers alone. Just leave them alone. Quit kicking. Don't kick the hornet's nest. You'll get all of your money and make all of your after sales through those that'll just go along.
Just leave them alone. There's the music. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Baxter.com, TenpennyResearchLibrary.com, CoursesForMastery.com. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Power Hour.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Oxygen. It's nature's oldest therapy, and plays an essential role in destroying viruses, bacteria, mold, yeast, and fungus, and keeping the human body healthy and strong. Now, you can give your body and your immune system a mega boost of disease-fighting oxygen with all-natural Oxy-C. With so many people now leading a sedentary indoor lifestyle, most are in a chronic state of oxygen deprivation, which sets up a perfect environment for disease, general fatigue, and a host of other symptoms. Oxy-C is yours in simple, convenient capsules. Nothing to mix, nothing to hassle with. Take it with juice or water anytime. Feel a cold or flu approaching? Have no energy or spark anymore? Try all-natural Oxy-C and prepare to be amazed. Oxy-C is only available from New Earth Health Solutions at Rents.com. Look for the New Earth banner at Rents.com.
With dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Numana Food Storage is nutritious, is GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemicals, preservatives, or soy. And Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. Call Jay at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com.
America made just for you. Food storage I love to eat. Yum!
If you've been listening to this program for any length of time, you'll know that Fukushima, the greatest calamity in history, has now, as I've been warning since 3/11, killed off virtually the whole North Pacific Ocean and especially up and down the entire West Coast. The radiation is migrating inland and is moving across the entire country. There's only one proven defender to radiation exposure, the brilliant Chernobyl-proven discovery of Dr. Michael Kiriak, which combines the four most potent and powerful algaes on the planet, imported to the U.S. and known as Bio's Superfood. I've taken Bio's Superfood every day for several years now and want you to do the same for your sake and the health and safety of your family and loved ones. Take the banner at the top of Rents.com and prepare to learn how to save your life.
Hi, it's Catherine from the Power Hour. If you are one of the many millions of people who have difficulty falling asleep, staying asleep, or having unrestful sleep throughout the night, REM sleep could be the solution you've been searching for. If you are like me and are afraid of the dangerous side effects from prescription sleep aids, REM sleep is an all-natural alternative that contains ingredients research has shown to help improve and enhance better sleep. REM sleep will get you the deep sleep you need to feel your best and will ensure you wake up feeling energized. To order, call 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com today.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? Thepowermall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at thepowermall.com today.
Are your toes tapping when you hear that music? People of my generation, they certainly do. Despite everything that the Jackson family has went or done through or whatever, I just can't help but tap my toe when I hear Billie Jean. That bass line. So good to be with you, ladies and gentlemen. ThePowerMall.com. We have great specials. We talked about them with Ron Sally, the Heal-On, the Lamb Cream. Unbelievable products. Buy from the good guys at ThePowerMall.com. 877-817-9829. You can talk to a real person, a real live individual, a real person that speaks English. What more could you ask for over at the Power Mall? Of course, all the North American Urban Spice is on sale. Excuse me. The Strauss Heart Drops, the REM Sleep, the Grown by Nature, all these and so much more at the Power Mall. We've made a big commitment to you. Thank you for your purchases. Thank you for your support, your donations, your prayers. Independent thought, independent media, shows like this, broadcasts where we bring people like Sherry Tenpenny are becoming rarer, but they are also becoming more important. So this is your show. I'm here. Dr. Tenpenny's here because you're there. Never forget that. You have the power. You have the crown and the dominion on your head, so given to you by your inheritance of your founding fathers and, of course, by your creator, by God himself. So there you go. Exercise it. 877-817-9829. Getting back to Sherry Tenpenny, we had quite a discussion during the break, and we're kind of the question for many of the people that I talk to, all of us who are awake and can kind of see what's going on and who work in this industry where you're trying to alert people, trying to educate people, trying to bring truth in a very dark corner of people's minds. We wonder out loud, we wonder to ourselves, when will this break? When will something be done? When will it finally trigger in people's minds? I'll put the question to you. Obviously, you probably think of that also, Dr. Tenpenny.
Oh, I spend hours a day thinking about it. I think about how our country was founded on freedom of speech and freedom to debate. And now, even in the vaccine arena, with all the censorship of Facebook and Instagram and Google and MailChimp and various other types of platforms, now we're not allowed to talk about what we have discovered. And so that whole censorship of speech is so important, and they're also censoring debate. And they're assuming that their side has won, hands down. There's nothing more to discuss. And anybody that says anything out of lockstep with the mainstream propaganda is fake news, putting the public at risk and putting public health in danger. And it's simply not true. And so it's sad to me, Daniel, and I'm so grateful that I have an opportunity to talk with people like you and some of the other radios that, like, every week I do a show on Thursday, every other week with Robert Scott Bell called Vaccine Science Bites, V Science Bites, which is robertscottbell.com. Every other Thursday, it's a 30-minute segment that we just pull out articles from the mainstream medical journal. We pull it right out of the Tenpenny Research Library and talk about it. And yesterday I did a show and we talked about meningitis. And so then, and so the month of September is about the meningitis vaccine with the back to school push for teenagers and going to college and how this vaccine does not protect you and it's all risk and no benefit at all. And yet, if it wouldn't be for people like you and Robert Scott Bell and Mike Adams and a few other people that actually have their own platforms, who would ever hear this? Who would ever hear it?
Let me piggyback on what you said. Do you think, to me, and I'll get your opinion, to me, the censorship we've seen from Google, this attitude like, oh, the science is settled, the discussion is over, this arrogance. And they've jumped the shark here, and I think it shows their vulnerability, and I think it shows their weakness to me. Your thoughts?
I agree. Because if they were so sure they would write, they would welcome, not only welcome the debate, they would call it on. I mean, if you thought that you were so right, you were so 100% right in your position, let's say on vaccines, and you were so sure that vaccines were safe, effective, necessary, minimally caused harm. You were so sure that your science was the end all be all. Wouldn't you just love an opportunity on a public forum to put the heel of your boot on the back of Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's neck and just squash her once and for all? And the same thing with Del Bigtree and Bobby Kennedy and all the rest of us who know the science, know what we're talking about and speak out. Wouldn't you just love in a public forum to humiliate me and make me look like I didn't know what I was talking about? But instead, they run to the hills. They never show up. All the debates that we've tried to set up in a very public forum to make this happen, they don't show up, and they cower behind the concept that, well, if we actually engage in a debate, then we are giving validity to the fact that there must be something worth debating. And as far as we're concerned, they're all a bunch of tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists. They don't know what they're talking about, and so we couldn't possibly engage in a conversation with them because they're just crazy and they're just wrong. And so therefore we're right, and because we said so.
Well, them doing that, they are missing their Achilles heel. Their Achilles heel, and it's out, and it's the genie's out of the bottle, so to speak, are these children of parents with their hurt children. That's their Achilles heel. Because you can't, okay, your talking head, your talking words mean nothing compared to this child sitting here sick. That's their Achilles heel.
Well, yes and no. I mean, because it, when you've got all of the doctors saying it's not the vaccines, it's not the vaccines, and as soon as you go into the office with a vaccine in your child, and they spend tens of thousands of dollars to prove it was something else or some other underlying thing that they can label and give a name to it, and say, oh, we don't know why your child just got it. I mean, they were walking along, they were healthy, and poof, they just got sick. We don't know why. Poof, their entire immune system just fell apart.
Oh,
it was probably because they were genetically susceptible, and that was just going to happen to them anyways.
Let me ask you about cigarettes, because I think this is such an appropriate comparison. You know, at one time in this country, doctors were promoting cigarettes as good for your health. Mickey Mantle was saying, you know, Winston cigarettes is better. 7 out of 10 doctors prefer Winston. In the 20s, there was evidence of cancer or some serious problems. There was scientific evidence. There was real scientific evidence. It wasn't until 1968, I believe it's 68, that a warning label was put on the cigarettes, some 48 years, almost 50 years later from that point. Are we looking at a similar cigarette situation with these vaccines?
Oh, I believe so. It's sort of the same thing with not only with cigarettes, but like with asbestos and all of those different things that they denied until they couldn't deny it anymore. And I read an article somewhere where I thought, and this stuck in my mind, that I really thought that this was true, that there will come a day when vaccination will be the thalidomide of our generation.
Ooh, explain what that is.
So thalidomide was a drug that was given back in the 60s and 70s to pregnant women for morning sickness. And so they gave them thalidomide, and all of these children were born without limbs. So they were born with, you know, it could have been one limb or up to four limbs, that they were born with stubby arms, like at the elbow or at the shoulder or only at the knees. They were born, and some of those children were born with completely without any limbs at all. They just had a torso. And then they realized it was this drug called thalidomide. It took several years, but they finally pulled it off the market when they realized that thalidomide was damaging children. And I believe that there will come a day, it's in the future, hopefully sooner rather than later, where we will look at this vaccine industry and go, what were we thinking? How could we possibly have thought injecting foreign matter, cow blood, dog cells, known carcinogens into children, that somehow we did that to keep them and make them healthy? And I believe that at some point, the entire vaccine industry will be the thalidomide of this generation.
Let's talk about some current news. You mentioned SB 276, 277 in California. What's current on that? What's going on there?
Well, SB 277 was passed in 2015, and last night, as we were speaking, the California Medical Board voted to support SB 276. SB 276 is the next round of egregiousness happening in California, that SB 277 took away the philosophical exemption and only allowed medical exemptions. And now they're trying to take away medical exemptions except under the most stringent of circumstances, a very short list of approved reasons why you could have a medical exemption as defined by the CDC. And if your doctor writes too many medical exemptions, they will be scrutinized by the medical board on an annualized basis. And if you want a medical exemption, it can only be approved by a CDC doctor who sold his soul to work for the government and to deny exemptions to children, even when they've got genetic susceptibility and family history that perhaps a first-degree family member, meaning a sibling or a parent, has had a serious reaction, maybe even died, the government says you still must vaccinate your child. Now, the state medical board, the California State Medical Board, got involved with that, and they were really kind of going, what in the world? I mean, this is the state practice of medicine, and they're taking the practice of medicine out out of the hands of doctors. And for the last several months, there have been a lot of discussions with the members of the California State Medical Board saying, you've got to stop this. You've got to protect and defend the doctor-patient relationship. And so there was a lot of discussion, and it looked as though the State Medical Board may have sided of going against this bill and saying, you know, the doctor-patient relationship is a contract and it's sacrosanct, and we cannot hand this over to the government. Well, as of late last night, the California Medical Board voted to support SB 276.
This reeks of desperation to me. I mean, just logically looking at it, if you take away vaccines, take away the facts of the situation, just look at the general outline of what we're talking about. A drug that we're giving to people, supposedly supposed to help them, but we're going to force you to do it. First it was voluntary. Now it's involuntary. Now you have medical exemptions. Now you don't have I mean, if I just saw that, just knowing what I know, even remotely, I would be like, what is going on here? Something fishy is going on. I would not have to know any more details than what you just said. It reeks of desperation to me.
Well, possibly. I think that's one way to evaluate it. It reeks of desperation, meaning that too many people are waking up and understanding that that vaccination is a 200-year mistake. In my opinion, my personal opinion, I believe it is the biggest fraud that has ever been perpetrated on humanity. And there have been a lot of big frauds. But when you think of all the children all over the world, I mean, we're talking about children in China and Africa and South America and in the Scandinavian states where they've been experimented on over and over and over again. It is a massive medical experiment that is fraud. It's never been proven to be safe. It doesn't protect you from an infection, and it definitely can cause you to be chronically ill and develop diseases that affect the rest of your life. And we have a 200-year multi-generational indoctrination into a belief system that this does something important for your health.
Well I'll tell
you. Think about what people say, Daniel. They say, I believe in vaccines. Believe in it? Wait a minute.
Yeah. So a lot of children believe in Santa Claus, too.
Or maybe it is about faith and religion.
They believe in Santa Claus also. There's a heck of a lot of people that believe in Santa Claus. Comment on this, because logically, let's get back to logic for a second. The only way you can justify SB 276, even remotely, you can even logically make an argument. The only way, if you can say that, well, you not getting a vaccine is hurting the rest of the herd, you know, in this idea of herd immunity. I don't believe in that because America is a country of individuals and individualism, but that's logically, that is the only thing that you could even remotely use to get me even interested in listening to you is, well, we need herd immunity. So please talk about herd immunity when it comes to these vaccines.
Well, there's another propagated lie. And, you know, we talk about that in our boot camp course, which if people are interested in getting, you know, going through our 8-week intensive boot camp course where the open enrollment will be September the 26th, if you're listening to this on a phone right now, I want you to text MVI, like Mastering Vaccine Info, M as in Mary, V as in Vector, I as in Iris, MVI, text that to 555-888. And that will put you on our email list for when we open enrollment for our boot camp course, because one of the modules inside of our 8-week course is about herd immunity. And we clearly define the fact that there is two types of herd immunity. One is natural herd immunity that happens when a population actually has an infection. And then there's medical herd immunity, which is this fake thing, talk about fake news, of injecting foreign matter into children to develop an antibody that the antibody does nothing to keep you from getting sick. It goes away over time, and so therefore they need to have a 95% or better vaccination rate in order to claim that it protects the herd. And we take a really, really deep dive into that in our boot camp course and explain it to people in a way that they will never forget, and they will be able to share it without passion, with intelligence, to other people who want to talk about it.
If vaccines work, then why do other parents care if my child doesn't get a vaccine?
Well, that's just it. I mean, if vaccines are if they actually keep you, when you say work, that by definition means vaccines keep you from getting sick. So if your child is vaccinated, why would you care about playing with an unvaccinated child? Because isn't your child protected?
And makes
isn't
sense
the only person in the room that's at risk? If you think that you have to have a vaccine to keep from getting sick, isn't the only person in the room that is at risk the unvaccinated child? So that whole argument is just bizarre. It's like so many things that they've come up with that are inside out, you know, backwards and upside down. I mean, it just makes now they're coming out with this new thing that if you don't vaccinate your child because it's so important, so necessary, and so harmless, if you do not vaccinate your child, we are going to label that child abuse. Now,
well, I would like to see.
How upside down and backward is that?
I would like to see somebody come to my house and try to enforce that. I'd like
well,
to see.
You go.
I would like to see the person that wants to come to my house and try to take my child from me because I didn't vaccinate him. I dare somebody to come to my house and let them try to talk that crap to me and see what happens. Them try to forcibly take my child. And see, that's why I think that you're seeing this gun push now. And that's why I think that the push is so dramatic, because that's where ultimately the showdown is, right? Push comes to shove. In this argument, we've gone back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, like a volleyball. But when the rubber meets the road, that's the point. Can the government force you to vaccinate your child? That's really where this is going. And where this discussion is ending up, to me.
Well, it is. And back, let me see, this was quite a few years ago now, when I think it was in 2005 or 6, when that big legislative push went through by George Bush Jr., when, you know, there was hints inside of that legislation, and it was around the time that we had bird flu. Remember that, Daniel?
Yes.
You know,
yes.
The bird flu was in 2005.
Yes.
There was hints. There wasn't any specific language, but there was hints inside of there that they could go door to door and force you to be vaccinated. Well, guess what? Now with mandates and mandatory vaccination and the World Health Organization saying the biggest threat to the entire global world of health is those kids who are not vaccinated, well, of course, because it shows that the emperor has no clothes. And so, and if you're not vaccinating, that is child abuse. And could it very well be your premise, could that be correct, that if they take away everybody's guns, that they have a right to go door to door and say, show us your vaccination records, please? And if you don't have them, well, guess what? We've got this little thing we're carrying around with us door to door to make sure that you're up to date on every available vaccine. And I want to say one more thing about mandates. All these mandates that they're trying to pass now they're trying to make Florida, they just floated this yesterday, for Florida to be the toughest state in the country in terms of disallowing exemptions. Maine lost their rights a couple of years ago. We're fighting Ohio tooth and nail. California's rolling over. I mean, could they go door to door and force this to happen? And the thing about mandatory vaccination, we're talking about a subset of vaccines that are on the schedule right now. What about the 200 or more that are in the developmental pipeline? Once they've opened the door, it is an open checkbook to the pharmaceutical industry for every vaccine they want to make a requirement, and an open door policy to your child's arm for all that stuff to be deposited into their body.
Oh my gosh. Couple comments on what you just said. You said we've lost our rights. I'm not trying to correct you. Don't take it that way, but we can't lose our rights. Our rights are given to us by God. All they can be is violated. They are violating our rights. We don't lose them. They are violating them. The other is, of course, that's where this is going. And the reason is because people like you are out here adamantly, passionately, logically, factually based, presenting this case, and in people's mind, it's creating doubt. So no matter how hard the big pharma pushes, the government back big pharma pushes this issue, people are falling through the cracks and saying, you know what? No, 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 no. And so the more that happens, they keep their foot to the throttle. It will inevitably come to that point. Unless they are going to have to back off, which I do not see, or it will come to that point. The point of a gun, by force, whatever analogy you want to use, the rubber will meet the road at that point without question, in my mind.
It's already happened in other countries. Why couldn't it happen here? They've done it in Ethiopia, where they've gone door to door with guns and forced parents to vaccinate their children.
I'm glad you said that. Doug, I am so glad you said that, because that's not even brought up enough. This has already been done in different places. Why do you think it hasn't been done in America? You know, and Trump's talking about gun control now. My God, it's important that he, whether he's playing politics or playing possum or whatever, it's important that guns are as American as apple pie and mom. And people can sit here and argue. Look, the reason they haven't done it in America, because we have guns. There's a lot of things in this country that haven't happened because we have guns, I promise you.
Well, and like I said, they've already done it in Ethiopia. And for all the people that are listening going, oh, my God, I'm so grateful I don't have children anymore, guess what? They're coming after adults next. I mean, the adult vaccination and implementation plan, two separate documents, were released in February of 2015. They had a goal of setting that up to have all adults be revaccinated with all the boosters of all those things you had as a kid and all the things that your kids are getting now, to revaccinate them as boosters and to make sure that every adult has a flu shot, pneumonia shot, shingle shot, and another 20 or 30 that there are about in stage 3 clinical trials now. So for anybody thinks, oh, thank God, I don't have any say over my grandkids, or my kids are all grown up, thank God I don't have to face this. But guess what? They can implement it in a very stringent way, like they did in Argentina. You can't renew your driver's license or your passport unless you show your vaccination records. I have already heard of three adults personally that I've heard of that they have already been dismissed from their doctor's offices because they're refusing a flu shot. They've been doing it in pediatric offices for years. It's coming for adults next. And I know of one case in particular that this particular patient had insulin-dependent diabetes and hypertension, and the doctor said, you can no longer come here to this practice if you are going to refuse a flu shot, because you will put my other patients in the waiting room at risk.
Oh, my gosh. This, I didn't have time.
So for people who think that this isn't coming for you, that you don't think as an adult you need to pay attention to this, you really need to pay attention to this. And I think that what Daniel said is absolutely right. Is there this potential that we could actually be going door to door to vaccinate, or that your other things are restricted, like your driver's license, your passport, access to your Medicare, this is this whole egregious, horrible, evil industry is all about making sure everyone is sick and injected with their product.
I didn't even get to talk about my conversation with one of my in-laws. We'll talk about that another time, maybe next time. But she kept using the word anti-vacciners, and that there's a lot of anger in these anti-vacciners. I'm just like, yeah, do you want to know why? I'll tell you. So I ranted for the next 10 minutes, explained to her why people are angry. It's been a pleasure having you on. We got about a minute or so. Well, there's the music starting, so we got about 40 seconds. But
all I want people to just go to coursesformastery.com. Courses, the number 4, mastery.com. It's going to be released this afternoon. Will be available on all of the websites that Daniel told you about. Will all be there.
It's such a pleasure always to talk to you, what you're doing. God keep you. And we pronounce blessings and protection and light and understanding on you and everything that you do, Dr. Tenpenny.
Thank you so much, and thank you for what you're doing. You give us a voice. Thank you.
God bless you. Everybody have a fantastic weekend. Please don't let this information paralyze you. You were born for this. You were born for this time. You're here for a purpose. There's light. There's truth in you. There's power in you. That's why the show's called The Power Hour. You have the power. You have the dominion. You have the authority. And that's where these ideas live, and ideas are bulletproof, as they say. And you are the sovereigns of this land and really of this world. God declared it, not me. God bless you. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll see you on the other side.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Hard Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 soaps, Vitamir, Numana food storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Dr. Joe Schneller.
The efficacy that we're looking for, that we're going to prove, is that Carnivora wakes up this immune system and makes it dominant.
I highly recommend that you get started right away using Carnivora because it really will help you. Just follow the directions as the company gives them to you. And I just want everybody to know that there's been no one paid to do this. I'm doing this on my own because I care about everybody and want to see healthy people.
My husband has recovered tremendously after the physician suggested that he start taking Carnivora. When he was doing so well, I decided to start taking it as well, and we're both so pleased to be able to...